You know, over the years when I was in the world, those teenage years, and I can look back to those years, and mind you, there was many what we used to call big nights. Boys, I lived for Friday night. Couldn't wait till the weekend to have a real flail of a time. And tonight, God's message brings us to a big night. A big night where the drink was flowing. And I'll tell you where you'll find this big night tonight. You'll find it in the book of Daniel, chapter number 5. And I would like you to come with me, please, in your Bible, to the book of Daniel, chapter number 5, please. And if you don't have a Bible, I'm going to read the passage clearly and slowly for you. Or if there's somebody beside you tonight that has a copy of God's Word, maybe they'll be pleased to share it with you. Now, we're coming to this big night tonight, and God has brought me to this passage for this evening. And we're going to begin to read from verse number 1, please. Daniel chapter 5 in the Old Testament. Now you take your time and find the place. It's not just as easy as found as Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. Have you all found it? You have. That's good. That's good. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron and wood and stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster on the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentiments and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jure? I have even heard of thee, that the spirits of the gods are in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. Down to verse number 25. And this is Daniel speaking to Belshazzar. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made him a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Ending our reading there at verse 30. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious truth. Verse number 30. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. If tonight, this was your last night on earth, your last and final night, how would you feel? If this tonight was your last and final night on this earth, never to see the light of tomorrow. Tell me this. How would you feel if this was your last night on earth? It's a terrible thought. It's a solemn thought. Because nobody in this meeting, including myself, can guarantee that we will see tomorrow. Nobody. What if, sir, this was your last night on earth? I say, love, are you listening tonight? What would you say if this was your last night on earth? My wife works in Craigavon Area Hospital. She works under on the children's outpatients. And she's quite friendly with a number of doctors and nurses and porters. One morning, one of the porters got a phone call from his son's place of work. And the question was asked, tell me this, Kieran, is Liam not coming in today? He says he should be in. What time is it? It's 9:05. Oh, he must have got held up in traffic. At 9, the phone rang again. Is that you, Kieran? Yes. There's still no sign of Liam. Well, he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go home here to see. Maybe there's something wrong with the car. And Kieran got home and got into the car and went home. Notice the young fella's car sitting in the driveway. And he says, typical, he must have slept in. He went up the stairs and into the bedroom. And there he was in bed. But he wasn't sleeping. He was dead. Dead. 18 years of age. Dead. No complaints. No feeling unwell. Went to bed like any other night. But the young lad went to bed, never to get out of it again. Tell me this, love. I'm a straight preacher. I don't beat about the bush. If you go to bed the night and never waking up again, what would you think? There's a wee verse in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 29. Do you know what it says? Oh, that they would be wise, that they would understand this, to consider. Consider what, George? To consider the latter end. Tell me this, have you considered your latter end tonight? What would happen if this was the last night of your life on earth? And you were to go to bed tonight, never to waken up again. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people makes a lot of plans. For when they die, the plan, the hymn. And they'll plan the flowers, and they'll plan the catering, and they'll plan the undertaker. And they'll plan the burial plot. And tell me this, how many plan for eternity? We come here to Daniel chapter 5 tonight, the big night. One man's last night on earth. And there's four things God wants you to see about this night tonight. Four things. Do you know the first thing God wants you to see about this night tonight? This big night. It was a night of great folly. A night of great folly. Do you know how this was a night of great folly? Because they lived and they partied and they drank and they danced with no thought of God. They lived and they partied and they drank this night with friend with no thought of God, never of time for God. Do you know, friends, tonight there's more people who I know live like that. I can sum them up in one verse. Psalm number 10, verse 4. Do you know that's how people live today? That's how the people live this night. This is how they party this night. And this is how people still live today. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God, because God is not in his thoughts. And that's how this man, Belshazzar, friend, began this big night away down in Babylon. Big night. You know, friend, that reminds me tonight of the day in which we live. But mind you, There was a day in our wee province, and there was a day in our wee land when even the ungodly feared God. I was telling my own congregation one morning, I was preaching on the text in Psalm 89 verse 7. You know what it says in Psalm 89 verse 7? Listen, Christian, a wee word to you about this. It says, God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of his saints. And listen today, if God's people are not going to fear God, there's very little chance of the ungodly fearing him. And here tonight we have a party. Here tonight we have a man. And friend, tonight there was no fear of God. It was a night of great folly. And this man was eating and he was drinking and they were partying, friend, and they were blaspheming God. Blaspheming God. Do you know what Isaiah 44 and 20 says? A deceived heart. Are you listening now? A deceived heart hath turned him aside. A deceived heart. Your heart deceived, son. Your heart deceived, dear. There's people sitting in churches today and they're being deceived in churches. Never mind dance halls. A deceived heart hath turned him aside. And this man was deceived, friend. And listen to me. It wasn't because he didn't know. Belshazzar knew all about God. And we'll come to that in a wee moment. Belshazzar knew all about God. He knew enough about God what to do. Even though God wasn't in his thoughts, he still knew. The night of great folly. You know, friend, this evening, this is how he spent his last night. Like so many people, they live and they party and they drink as if they're going to be here forever. The night of great folly. And I want you to notice something else about this big night. It wasn't just a night of great folly. It was a night of great fear. A great night of great fear. In Daniel 5 and verse 5 we read, and the party was in full swing, and the drink was flowing, and the laughing, cahoning, and getting on. Then we read this, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall and of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote against one another. I'm telling you, God can soon change a night. God can soon bring a big night to a standstill, as he did here. God can soon bring fear to a sinner's heart. God can soon bring himself before ungodly men and women. There appeared the fingers of a man's hand. Oh, friend, take a wee moment. God can get into the hardened of hearts tonight through the finger tonight of a man's hand. You say to me, George, what do you mean? Sometimes the fingers of the man's hand has appeared in the form of a wee lump. You know what I mean, love, don't you? Sometimes the finger of a man's hand can appear in the shape of a wee lump. I know a lady one time, no time for God, no thought for God, and she was showering one morning and she felt a wee lump. And she went to the doctor. And she went and got tests done, and it was cancerous. I'm telling you, this woman went to her minister and she started attending church and then she started to get people to pray. I'm telling you, if you've never prayed in your life, you'll soon pray then when you discover a wee lump. And sometimes God breaks in to your life like that. And sometimes the fingers of the man's hand, like of a man's hand, may appear in the sickness of a wee child. Oh, aye. You mightn't have no time for God, no time for the gospel, no time for Christ. I can tell you, the fingers of a man's hand that God uses can appear in many different ways. And the man that was laughing here and the man that was drinking here now is the man that's trembling. One said long ago in Isaiah 21:4, my heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night, listen to this, the night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight. It's the same with Pastor Kennedy, it's the same with me tonight. We will all have to pass through our last night on earth. Thank God I've nothing to fear. If this is my last night on earth, it means I'll be with the Lord in the morning. You see, the thought that troubles me and the thought that should trouble you. People are like Belshazzar tonight. People like Belshazzar does not know when that night will be. James 4:14 says, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. My sister-in-law was just driving home the other night, like every other night. And all of a sudden, in a moment, she went to be with the Lord, thank God. You can guarantee a safe road home this evening. Belshazzar. Boys, he was troubled. You need to be troubled tonight. Tonight, because you're a lost sinner. But there's something else I noticed here. You know, God was merciful to Belshazzar. Do you want to know why? God spoke to him before he died. There's not too many tonight. There's not too many get the chance of God speaking to them before they die. It's not a great folly. A night of great fear. There was a night of gruesome fact. If there ever was a man who had to face the gruesome facts tonight, it was this man. And tonight, my unsaved friend in this meeting tonight, man or woman, young or old, you're going to face the same fact. Do you know the first thing, the first gruesome fact that Belshazzar learned that night, that his life was limited? We read this tonight. God hath numbered thy kingdom. You want to know something, unsaved man tonight? You want to know something? I'm going to make this very, very clear, very, very clear. You know something? God has your days numbered. God has numbered your days. God knows exactly when your last night is. I don't know who you are tonight. Listen, God knows who you are. But listen, God knows the night you're going to go, or the day you're going to go, the day you're going to leave earth. Why do you think the psalmist prayed in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach me to number my days"? Sinner friend, you need to pray that prayer. Lord, teach me to number my days so that thou will teach me wisdom. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, Job said. And then the psalmist prayed this, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am?" You know to know something else, the gruesome fact that this man knew, and you need to know tonight. He not only was told this night he was limited, he was told this night he was lost. "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." Unsaved friend tonight, I think tonight we need to sit up and listen. And I pray to God that he would trouble you. It's a serious thing. And tonight you could be in the very edge of eternity. Tonight you could be right in the very edge of hell. And friend, one breath will put you there. Friend, don't sleep on me tonight. Will you listen to me? People think I'm all right. You know, I'm good and I'm upright and I'm religious. My friend, you're not good enough. It's not of works lest any man should boast. Friend, I'm telling you tonight, you're lost. This is God speaking to you. Listen, I've numbered your days. And I've weighed you in my balances, and you're found wanting. That's what Paul says. "For we all have sinned and have come short." Sinner, you've become short of God. You're short of God's standard. You're short of heaven. And because you're short of heaven, you're sure for hell. Sinner, get this tonight. You're short of heaven, but you're sure for hell. Thou art found wanting. You're found wanting. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own ways and in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." Look at verse 22. There's something we need to see here in verse 22. Look what it says. It says, and Daniel speaks to him, and he says, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." I'm telling you, friend, Belshazzar wasn't a heathen. Belshazzar knew all about God. And you're in this meeting, and you could preach the gospel maybe better than me. You know it inside out. "Knowest thou all of this?" Sure, this could be said of you, sir. This could be said of you, love. "Thou knowest all this." You know all about John 3:16, but you're still lost. You know all about the cross. You know all about the cross, but you haven't humbled thine heart. You know how much Christ loves you, but you haven't humbled your heart. You know how he suffered for you on the cross, yet you haven't humbled your heart. You know all about his precious blood, yet you haven't humbled thine heart. You know tonight that he rose again from the grave, yet thou hast not humbled thine heart. Friend, you know all about Christ crucified. You know all about him being nailed to the cross and why he went to the cross and how he died for you. You know all about it. You know all about it, how he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. And you know it inside out, love. But you haven't humbled your heart. "Though thou knewest all this," Belshazzar wasn't a heathen. Oh, friend, there was gruesome fact tonight. But the night ends with a great fatality. It says there in the text, in that night was Belshazzar slain. Little did he know, when God was writing on the wall, death was knocking at the door. When God was writing on the wall, death, I'm telling you, man, death was knocking at the door. And how do you know tonight, yeah, even though God is speaking to your heart right now, that death isn't knocking on the door? You know what I'm going to tell the congregation at the funeral service tomorrow? This is what I'm going to tell them. There's a lot of things you need to get right first time in life. A lot of things you need to get right first time in life. And one of them is dying. You need to get dying right first time. You want to know why? Because you have only one go at it. You have only one go at dying. And if you don't get it right first time, dear, you'll never get a second go at dying. Ezekiel 7 and 6 could be Belshazzar's text. An end has come. The end has come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it has come. And tonight, as I bring this meeting to a close, I want to close it by bringing you to Calvary. I want to close it by bringing you to the foot of an old, rugged, blood-stained, cruel cross. And I want you to tonight to see the bleeding, dying form of one who hung there. And I want you to say to your own heart tonight, because it's true if you say it, died he for me who caused his pain. Oh, I. And sinner friend, you and me are guilty, just as guilty as the Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross. You and I are just as guilty for him being there, because he was there for your sin and mine. And I want to finish this night by crying from the bottom of my heart the words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, tonight, God gave Belshazzar time and he missed it. And God's given you time. And it's not religion you need, and it's not rituals you need, and it's not sacraments you need, and it's not catechisms you need. It's Christ you need. Christ you need. Christ saves from sin. Christ saves from hell, from you going to hell. And Christ alone is the only Savior who can take you into heaven.
And I want you to ask the question. Ask yourself the question. The text that I'm going to use tomorrow at the funeral is this text, and I'm going to finish this meeting with the same text. And I want you to ask yourself this question before it's too late. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? For what you do with him in life will determine what he'll do with you in death. Because tonight he's not on the cross. Tonight he's alive. He rose again from the dead, conquering death, conquering sin, conquering Satan. And tonight he wants to be your Savior. What if this was your last night on this earth? We'll all bow our heads now in prayer. Every head bowed, please. And I want God's people to pray. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. There's no getting out of it. There's no escaping it. There's no avoiding it. We're all familiar with the coffin. We're all familiar with the hearse and the grave and the headstone and the wreaths. But we're not too familiar with the next wee bit where it says, but after this. After this is the judgment. Tonight, dear unsaved friend, has God been speaking? Tonight, are you troubled? Tonight, are you fearful? Tonight, has God really broke in tonight into your heart through this message? And tonight, you've heard something you've never heard before. I'll tell you, you've seen something that you've never seen before, and something else. You've felt something that you have never felt before going on in that heart of yours. You've never felt before what you feel now. Friend, that's God, the Holy Ghost, convicting of sin. And I just want you to know tonight, you can make your peace with God by coming to his Son who made peace for you through the blood of his cross. Will you come tonight? Will you make him yours before it's too late, before you miss him?